You're listening to DraftKings Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yo, I got asked a great question yesterday. In the last year, because obviously it was both of our birthdays, one new thing you learned since your last birthday?
Wow.
Great question.
That is a great question.
Pose it to you, Christian.
So you're not even going to answer? Or you're not going to say the
I'll tell you what mine is, but what's yours? But
give me time. You've prepared.
I answered it right away.
What have I learned? It would have to be something related to parenting.
Yeah, you got to bring up your kid, man. It can't be like L1 plus this does this on FIFA.
I was like, you're screaming really loud, bro. What is it? Are you mad at me? What?
You got to bring up your kid, man.
Yes, I've learned that I'm a father. Oh. That's what I did. I did learn that.
And that's the end of the show, folks. Thank you so much. Come back for more.
It was quite the surprise. All of it, you know, parenting changes you, bro. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, but you got to pick one more so for the question.
What I've learned that, raising a child requires an incredible amount of patience, but the one thing I am, the positive and negative, is that I waited till I was older in life to have a kid. So there's what I learned is that I have the patience to deal with the challenges of raising a child, and I wouldn't have had that if I had a kid at a young age.
Right.
But then,
because you would have been gone. You would have been
like, yeah, that's right.
Until you get that DNA test.
You know me, how I run away from all my problems and any challenge in life. Typical Polanco.
Right. As soon as this podcast got hard, you left.
So that's the thing. I learned that to have that patience, but also, after Mateo was born, and after having reared him and raised him for this amount of time, there's a feeling like, man, I wish I would have done it sooner to have more time with this kid and stuff like that, or maybe it's hard to get too serious too fast, but
yeah,
it's
certainly gonna make mine look like.
I was gonna say,
absolute joke.
Having it's less scary than I thought it was gonna be.
Okay.
And for anybody listening who is thinking about having a family and doing the whole thing and 2.5 kids and the whole thing, I would say pick the right person.
Pick the right person
because it makes it a lot easier.
You want to hear something crazy? That's exactly what I learned, bro.
Wow, bro. Yo.
I learned it from watching you, Chris.
So that's right. Look, I mean, and speaking of, picking the right person, shout out also. Welcome to the show. My name is Christian Polanco.
Oh, yeah, I'm Alexis Guerreros, everybody. I think you know that.
We are here. Some people do not know.
I like how you say we are here, but we are comfortably inside.
But I have cookies. You want
cookies?
Cookies that my wife made. She made birthday cookies for me. And look at these. I mean, she baked them. She also decorated them. So we got an Everton kit, and we also got the NYCFC kit.
Let's go.
Let's go. Okay. Very nice. Very nice.
She even put the star on there. A Rebel cookie wouldn't have that.
You can't have that on the Rebel cookie. Rebel cookie in a bargain bin right now, bro.
Okay. So shout out.
Just to all our listeners who are Red Bull fans. And by the way, Tottenham and Liverpool fans. Thank you.
Yeah, it's part of the banter. You know, it's all good. So we got a little soccer ball. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If I put food in Alexis's hand, there's no way I'm getting it back. I know that. So I will
honor this cookie by dipping it in coffee.
Look at that. It's a good cookie too, right?
Oh, great cookie.
Tastes good.
You want to make these cookies for your kid's first birthday.
Yes, yes, you made those.
Killed it.
Yeah, she crushed it. So she's been getting into cookie decorating.
We should do a cookie off. Like, get someone else and just make him make cookies for us.
Okay. You know, it's all for
the winner.
It's all for entertainment. We're all just stuffing our faces with cookies.
Go to war, ladies.
Go follow Naturally Helene on Instagram. We want to see some.
Hell yeah!
Shout out Helene. Cool cookies. Shout out Helene.
All right. So, hello everybody.
This is a soccer podcast. I was just going to remind you guys.
Very good.
I'm going to finish it.
So, what's good? Wait, did you say what you learned? Well, I mean, you didn't seriously say what you learned.
No, I didn't. I didn't say it. Honestly, what I learned is, obviously, I've had to take a bit of a step back from doing as much stand-up this past year. And what I learned is that some of the friends that I had that I thought, oh, they're probably only friends with me because they see me so much. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes proximity, you know,
right,
you
right,
think
right.
aids in the relationship. Well, I think what you find out pretty quickly is how many, and it's a lot more than I thought, truly care about me.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing.
Look at that.
Nice. Sometimes I think it's always just because we co-workers, we see each other at the comedy water cooler, you know,
my favorite place.
It turns out they actually care.
It's where we discuss cancel culture and how you can't say anything anymore. Okay.
Yeah, Jerry Seinfeld's always at the water cooler.
I'm getting tired. Look, I'm getting tired of Jerry Seinfeld and a lot of comedians complaining about this woke. Like, I understand.
Welcome to comedians eating cookies, getting coffee.
I understand Fox News and The Five complaining about woke culture, but actual comedians complaining about it, about like, there's no sitcoms anymore and you can't. Saying like, are you serious, bro? That's the game. There's landmines everywhere and you got to figure out how to not hit them. That's the job of a comedian, how to find the line and just never kind of cross it or slightly cross it or whatever. So it's just complaining about like, yeah, the job gets harder as you age. That's how it is.
I also think there's just really no such thing as getting canceled.
Sure.
A couple of people are mad at you. Okay, if you said something really offensive, then those people aren't your fans anymore.
You've been canceled like 12 times since we've done this show.
Bro, Big Pizza has tried to get rid of me multiple times.
You're still here, and the people maybe you know who you are, complaining about whatever you want to complain about, but look, we're still here.
Yeah, nothing happens. If you say something terrible, then the good people aren't your fans anymore. And let me tell you something, as comedians, you know right away. When your audience is who you are, they tell you that. Yeah. Who's buying tickets to see you?
Exactly.
If you're wondering, like, oh no, am I one of the baddies? When they're the ones in your audience, when there's a lot of people who just got out of jail for January 6th crimes.
A lot of these red hats in my crowd.
Damn. Why do I do well whenever there's a rally nearby? Then you kind of know. Oh,
exactly.
I'm
anyway.
Not speaking the truth. I'm just speaking the things they want to hear.
So, hello, everybody. I swear we're going to get to soccer, footy, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, we had to. Thank you for all the birthday wishes as well. That's right. My birthday was on Tuesday. Alexis was on Wednesday. So we always appreciate a fun Cooligans birthday week. As always, Miguelito is in Miami. That's the boy.
It's starting to feel like Miami in the studio. It is getting warm in here.
Getting warm outside in here. You know, I mean, that's a par for the course. We deal with it every summer. But we got a lot to go over today because there's a lot of there was a couple of midweek matches, but definitely Champions League, UEFA Champions League, and then we're gonna get to Columbus Crews, unbelievable. I guess it's not even unbelievable anymore, but just momentous.
Momentous is a great point.
They're just dominating Mexico, bro. It's crazy. Liga MX is fearing the Crew, so they made it to the final. So we'll talk about that. And let's start with UEFA Champions League because it was obviously the semifinal matches, the first legs kicked off. Bayern Munich against Real Madrid was on Tuesday. What a birthday gift for me and Dortmund and PSG for Alexis's birthday. They were celebrating both. So very
which I've been to Signal Iduna Park. And had I picked Dortmund, I think I would have had a better time.
I mean, I think we should start with Dortmund. Because
I agree. That was really impressive.
This was the more shocking result.
But here's the point I made on Morning Footy, and I think it was a good one, so I'm repeating it. this was by no means PSG's best match, but this is definitely the best match I've seen Dortmund play in a long time.
Bro, who is this team? This is not.
But they still only ended up one. nil. I mean, that's not that big of a lead to take the park.
Not at all. Not at all. But still, the result doesn't look like how the game actually was. You know what I mean? A 1-0 result. This game could have been 4-3. This game could have been 5-4. But Borussia Dortmund, the swag. There's not one Bundesliga game this season that I've seen them play like
no,
this.
They haven't. They walked off the pitch at the end and said, "Who was that?" I don't remember any of that.
They look in the mirror. They're like, "I don't know who this man is."
No, I swear to God, I look like Zidane in his mirror. Bro, Jadon Sancho. 13 amazing. Dribbles.
My man,
what was you doing?
Which if it was in basketball, it'd be very unimpressive.
You'd be like, "What were you out there for 4 minutes?"
Okay.
The stat is misleading. People are like, 13 dribbles. I do that on a. That's dribbling past someone trying to stop you right in that moment.
Right. Jadon Sancho, it looked like. You know how when you're playing Ultimate Team? And you start the season and you get the regular gold cards and you're like
every day of my life,
right? And it's just like, all right, these guys, I have my team, but like, I mean, they're not doing anything wild, flashy or whatever. Jadon Sancho looked like I got my team of the year card. Uh-huh. I'm gonna be okay. My stats are boosted like plus 20 on everything, and Jadon Sancho for the most part, even especially at Manchester United, looked like. He's not there for the pace. Nobody's asking him to, like, run past anybody. Nah. He's not
this ain't a transition pace game.
No. He's not Vinicius Jr. He's not
Marcus Rashford last
season. Not quite a winger. Not quite, he's between somewhere between a technical winger and a Beckham type, like, midfield, a good passer, good decisions on the ball.
Yeah, okay,
central midfield, or right mid or something like that. And it looked like he just had it all. Like, nobody could get the ball from him. He was running past people. Mm-hmm. Unlike Hakimi, the fast defenders who can defend, but yeah. He was just so elegant on the ball and just so tricky that nobody could put a body on him. Mm. They couldn't put a tackle on him. And it's just literally one of the best games of his career.
You know what this was? This was, you know when a couple breaks up? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Okay. No, I never,
follow along with me.
I never heard of it. And I've been with my lady since I was... 17.
and a dude starts posting, like, you know, moved on, it's all good, and he's got, like, a cot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's like, doing whatever I want, he's eating ramen. But the girl ain't posting nothing. You're like, damn, girl hasn't posted anything. Mm-hmm. Usually this is where she would flex. And then a couple months later, all of a sudden, there's the picture of her on the mountain, some beach resort town or something. You know what I mean?
She got flued out.
She got flued out. You're like, oh, there's the post-breakup flex. This was Jadon Sancho.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't even need you, bitch, the whole time. Manchester United got the ramen in the photo. And he's like, it's dude's night every night, dude. We never needed her.
It's always bros before hoes, all right?
Bro. Yo, she was honestly stuffing my style, dog.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the questions, that was the kind of the funnier, like, sort of aftermath of this game was, it's like, as soon as Jadon Sancho had a good game, the first questions were like, I wonder what Erik ten Hag is doing now. I know he's punching the air right now. Yeah. My man is furious. And there's a...
Actually, he's so robotic, he was probably like, he's very good. Yes, that's very good.
Well, the reality is, if Jadon Sancho does well, that only benefits Manchester United, because then
his value goes up.
The value goes up, and they can sell him on.
So Rafa Honigstein said that it's impossible that... He didn't say impossible. I'm paraphrasing. He said, ain't no goddamn enough. He said, it's not likely that Dortmund can afford his wages.
Yeah.
So he is going to have to get sold. The question becomes now, yes, Jadon Sancho is Champions League quality at a very high level.
Yeah.
Because, again, the weakest team in this whole setup, you would guess, out of the last four, you'd have to place BVB last on that list. And a player on BVB who's on loan. Was the shining star when Mbappe is still on the pitch, right? So you'd have to say this is by far a Champions League quality player. What you thought he had, he still has. It just simply hasn't been. He can't shine at Manchester United. So now there's quality enough for another Champions League team to want him. Where does he go?
Yeah.
PSG.
PSG.
Damn.
Well, I guess.
He's pulling a clap when he bought Minamino. He's like, yo, you cooked my team. You are now part of the team.
I just feel like PSG is going to be in a really big like rebuilding mode after Mbappe leaves. And Sancho is certainly a flash player that PSG, like, that's marketable, that's like fun. PSG could do some stuff with Jadon Sancho.
Can I also say Jadon Sancho in Paris? That's wavy.
I mean, it's a little scarier than him in Manchester United, right? I mean,
just him living in the city of Paris.
No, I know. I'm just saying, as far as, like, he could get into some real shenanigans.
Yeah. I'm here for the shenanigans, dude.
Okay. So, look, we're talking about Dortmund a lot. And, look, they won 1-0. The goal from Füllkrug was great.
Rue won old school over the top.
It wasn't old school. They had a couple of tricks up their sleeve.
No, that goal.
That goal. But the first touch from Füllkrug, bro, it doesn't get better than that.
Füllkrug sounds like he wears Tim's. The name makes it sound like he wears Tim's when he plays. You know what I mean? Like, he shows up with a hard hat.
Yeah. I mean, my man.
He punches in. He has a boop. He has a little tag.
He looks like he goes to where he's like. He plays football, but for some reason his hands are calloused. You know what I mean?
He's like, what do you do, dude? How do you have splinters?
My man puts in a shift, but the
So you just always have a tape measure with you? Okay, cool.
he had the header that went over the bar as well. I love that set piece was the trickery between
came up the training.
Was it Madsen? I think it was Madsen and Sancho. I forgot who it was that was standing there to send in the ball. It might have been Sabitzer. They were just going back and forth, and Füllkrug just has an open header and just hits it over the bar. There were a couple of those in that game, but really the misses from PSG were remarkable. This was the Champions League god saying, Not today.
Not a Signal Iduna.
This is PSG. You're never winning it. Yeah. It doesn't matter how much you spend. I don't care how the Qataris.
Oh, no. They're winning the tie.
Okay. What do you mean? You think they're winning this?
You don't think PSG wins at home?
I don't know. After watching this.
Look how good BVB played. But BVB. And they're still only up by one.
But BVB are not even like that good at home anyway. Why can't they do something similar on the road?
Do you think they're going to be better on the road?
Not in Paris. If it was another like stadium, I would say maybe not in Paris. That's too
dangerous. I don't look. We've been to Parc des Princes. It is.
We've also been to Signal Iduna.
We have. I'll say this. Parc des Princes is not that intimidating. Even though.
Wow. Christian's never allowed to go back to Paris after this one.
Even though the PSG Ultras, yes, they're loud.
They almost pressed that shit
out of
us. I was going
to say, didn't you guys almost get beat up by
it? It's not.
We almost ended up on the wrong side of the riot squad. There's a riot squad.
They have the racetrack right around it, right? There's a little bit of a distance between you and the supporters.
Bugging.
I don't think it's going to be that intimidating. No, I think BVB can.
Remember the guy next to us who's like, well, how'd they let so many Leon fans in?
He was American.
He's an American guy. His dad owns a leather company in Texas. He was just like, yeah, I'm here for Messi. He had like six cameras, and he just kept yelling Messi. And I'm like, dude, you're making all of us look bad. But he goes, hey, man, why are there so many Leon fans here?
I'm like,
those are the PSG Ultras. I go, can't you see they're wearing all PSG? He's like, Leon just scored, and they're cheering. I go, no, they don't stop. They do this for the whole 90 minutes. He goes, the whole time?
Yeah.
When do they pay attention? I'm like, all right. So you're not allowed to pick up the ball.
Right.
We got to go over all the rules now.
Oh, we'll explain the offside rule. We'll get to all of it. We were there. I wasn't necessarily like, yo, this is like,
nah, you bugging.
This is wild. No.
You bugging.
I think it's going to be easy.
Signal Iduna, the yellow wall is a special. It is a bucket list for a lot of people for a reason.
Yeah.
It is a special thing.
I'll say this.
Parc des Princes is no joke.
Look, I think we're overestimating or overvaluing PSG in this tournament.
Are you crazy? They did this to Barca.
If Barca doesn't get that red card, I don't think PSG's getting through.
They still did it.
It wasn't like some wildly dominant performance. They had to play.
You can't see a hammer falling out of Füllkrug's pocket. Him getting a red card.
My man is a Mario brother.
He walks out of there with a a turtle shell. Like, what are you doing? Stop throwing that at people.
Look, it's not going to be easy at all, but I think BVB can do it, man. And again, PSG should have tied this game, or at the very least, Kolo Muani. What was up with that? He got the ball at the penalty spot and skies it over the bar.
The real criminal thing here is, why wasn't Gonzalo Ramos?
He hasn't. Where's he been? He hasn't even played like three in the last three.
Yeah, he's been
some
good,
crazy like three in the last has four.
But has he played in Champions League? I remember seeing him. He wasn't in the. He didn't play in the last year.
He's been getting into form. You know,
maybe he's coming back from an injury or something. I don't know.
No, man, he's been playing.
Damn, bro. All right. But I mean, it's like, it's not like they're not creating chances. Look,
he's got three in the last. He had three goals and an assist in the last three games. And then they bench him.
I don't know.
Bro, let my guy cook.
but that one sequence where Mbappe hits the left post and then Dembele hits the right post, it was just beautiful. I mean, it was a cruel beauty to the sport of just like you saw Mbappe's face, couldn't believe it. Also, when Muani missed that shot, there was the frustration on all the other on his teammates.
Yeah,
it wasn't like, bro, you're good. Don't worry, we'll get him next time. It was like, bro, why are you even in this game, bro?
You don't even go here, dog.
I'm gonna talk to the coach because he must have made a mistake. I don't even know why you're next to me right now,
coach. You come on. This guy don't know what he's doing. You dial it back.
So that was just two unbelievable. Sequences.
I'm sticking with what I'm saying. This was the best game I've seen BVB play in this competition, and they're only up one goal. This seems like a prime PSG opportunity. You go home to the, I guess, not that scary Parc des Princes for Christian, and it's going to be...
It's literally the Park of Princes. Does it really have that...
Sounds scary to me.
I guess it depends on the prince, you know? I disagree, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's like Saddam Hussein's kids.
I was going to say. Yeah. If it's PSG and it's princes, bro, I'm out. I'm not saying anything bad about it. I'm out.
No, thank you.
I think the British royal family wishes they could name their stadiums after the princes. Prince Harry Arena. Prince Harry.
Park the he didn't do it. Park the it was just a photo.
Yeah. Park the
a lot of people were on that island. Park the a lot of people went to that island.
Park the don't check the flight logs.
I miss my mom.
Speaking of getting canceled in the UK now.
A lot of generational trauma out there. The other game in Champions League, Bayern Munich against Real Madrid, this ended as a 2-2 draw. And this felt like a missed opportunity for Bayern Munich because obviously they were up 2-1. And then the penalty from Kim Min-jae on the foul on Rodrigo in the box, a clear penalty. And man, it just this was a game where I did not expect Bayern Munich to maintain and handle the Real Madrid attack as well as they did. They defended well outside of especially that mistake from Kim Min-jae.
I mean, two mistakes from Kim Min-jae because he also gave up the penalty.
Oh yeah, and then the goal against Vinicius. Yeah. It's a mistake in defending. It doesn't seem as poor of a mistake as the penalty.
It's bad defending though, because it's also a great run by Vinicius. The seeing the space, checking up, and then as soon as he checks up, Kim's like, "Oh, I should probably take a step forward." As soon as you do, you're like, "Hey, did you guys notice Vinicius running past me? Because I just saw him go that way, but now I saw him go that way."
Bolted, bro.
Bro, that he was just, gone.
Yeah,
you very rarely get to see it in a Champions League semifinal.
Yeah.
A striker have that much space around them.
Well, he wasn't
as getting ready to shoot.
Was he playing
in the moment he was central?
Exactly, but which is also like for Kim Min-jae, it's like, yeah, you ain't supposed to be here. Why are you here right now?
Hey, where's your boy?
Because this ain't your place, bro. Yeah. You in the wrong place.
Are you guys gonna swap? Or?
But also the pass from Toni Kroos.
Toni Kroos pointing to him, telling him like. This way.
Tony Cruz is a Real Madrid. They play a game so, especially, you know, having the defensive help as you know, having like Tony Rudiger, having players that, you know, Tony Cruz, he ain't a box to box guy anymore.
No, he cannot be.
Not what he does. Okay. No.
He's got to do Pirlo running.
He is a Pirlo man.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as people start asking you, like, when are you going to retire?
Yeah.
That's they're asking that for a reason.
Right. Can I get you a heating pad? You know,
they're starting to be a little bit concerned.
Yeah.
But this is the thing is, like, no matter how your pace is the first thing to go.
Yeah.
You know, like they say in the NBA, it's like your shot is the first thing to go. Like, you just are not as accurate. We see, you know, the Warriors not even making making it into the playoffs and whatever. And just fucking, it just doesn't feel right to see Curry missing shots. But that's with age, that's the first thing to go. But in football, the pace is the first thing to go. But nothing. But everything else.
He still got the vision.
He doesn't need to be. He's orchestrating. Mm-hmm. He's moving the chess pieces on the board.
And do the running for him.
I feel like Tony Cruz never had the pace, though, too. So his game has always been modeled after, like, the vision and making the right pass and all that stuff.
Right. He reminds me of, like, a Busquets type of player, which is, my first touch is going to make you suddenly much further away from me than you thought it will. And I'm going to be very smart with the ball, and I'm going to pass at the absolute perfect time, which is just before your foot gets to the ball to stop being.
It's just a remarkable pass, and the vision is was wild. But this felt, you know, I saw Thomas Mueller after the game talking to the CBS Sports crew, talking about the Champions League stuff, and he was not miserable, but like, really, he knew that they let this opportunity get away from them.
Yeah, because this is another opportunity where the team that's playing home second has a massive advantage.
Exactly.
Even I also think in this matchup, being up one going to you know, the Bernabeu is not a massive, you know, hill for Real Madrid to climb. Going in even, 2-2 draw. Tuchel's going to have to come up with something impressive.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Bernabeu, a little bit more intimidating than Prats, in my opinion.
Come on, man. Come on.
That's my thought. So, I don't think Bayern are going to overcome
this.
Sorry,
your mom's dead.
I thought they played pretty well. I thought they had a fair amount of possession. What's the possession stats? I don't remember. They 52? 48? Okay.
Yeah, but Real Madrid don't even want the ball, and they still got 48%.
Overall, they played better than I thought. They were leading at one point, right? They were leading after the Kane penalty. Was it Musiala drew the penalty?
Yeah, Musiala.
I thought it was smart to have Leroy Sané on the left. Clearly, they were looking for him in the first 15, 20 minutes where they looked like they had complete control of the match. But even then, I kind of almost don't even know how to analyze Real Madrid because they're like, yeah, all right. You got possession, you're taking shots on us. Wow.
Yeah.
And you're like, isn't that the bad thing? Isn't that the thing you don't want them to do, you know?
Also, the goal from Leroy Sané was
there was a
focatasness to it that we usually don't see from the young man.
Well, looking at the fuatacology of it, he was just like, I'm tired of missing these shots.
I'm tired of it. He was like,
what if I break the back netting?
Just a rocket near post where it was like, goalkeeper was just like, really? Like, he was diving.
He bent the goalkeeper into like a parentheses. He went back with it too.
I love, that is the move because you can't, they tell goalkeepers to like get your hand down like as soon as possible, but he really just like, he bent him with his mind.
Who was that guy that used to bend the spoons?
Neo from Matrix.
Yes.
Yeah, but that was the bend the spoon.
No, wasn't there that guy who used to pretend like he could read minds and shit?
Professor X from X-Men.
I thought you were talking about the X-Men.
This is a real human being. Could you stop being a goddamn nerd for a second?
Oh, I thought you were talking about like a movie.
No, he would go on like daytime shows and stuff and pretend like he can.
Uri Geller.
I was going to say David Blaine or something, but no.
No, this guy's like pretend like, oh, I could read the future. He would put like, he was always on like Howard Stern stuff. He put like envelopes in places.
Okay.
And he'd be like, open this up on January 1st. And it's like, oh, my God, OJ. And it's like, how did he know? shit like that.
Got it. You know what I'm talking about?
I vaguely remember, like, as a kid, maybe seeing this. Yeah, yeah.
Man, I used to rub all types of spoons, thinking, like, if this motherfucker can do it.
I was thinking The Matrix, the I am the spoon.
I keep bringing. I'm like, who's the guy who's like, oh, clearly you mean Optimus Prime. And I'm like, no. Real people.
I was thinking Magneto.
I thought it was Magneto too.
You guys are nerds, dude.
Oh yeah, we're the nerds who are not reminiscing about 1975 daytime TV.
Yo, first of all, I didn't have cable, man. I watched a lot of repeats.
Okay, all right.
There was someone else.
All right, I'm glad. Well, that is what Lunan looked like, everybody.
Oh yeah, he got banned. That was the whole point. I was
he
trying
got
to make.
Banned by by Leroy Sané. So yeah, this is a my prediction. I think Real Madrid is gonna win this comfortably. I mean, for the final, I'm gonna say Real Madrid, BVB. I think that's going to be the Champions League.
That's crazy. It's Real versus PSG, and if it's not, the all hell will break loose. I mean, Paris.
That is going to be the a wild final if that is the case. It's Kylian Mbappe versus
the place he's going to go to after the final whistle's blown.
He's literally going to be he's going to swap jerseys with a player.
Himself. It's an Mbappe Real Madrid jersey puts on.
And it's just, okay, here's the announcement.
He leaves with Real Madrid. He's like, bro, good times out there.
Only he can touch the Champions League trophy. They can't.
Like Real Madrid wins. Real Madrid They're wins, all sad. Bro. He's smiling. Mbappe is just holding up the trophy with Real Madrid. He's like, Real Madrid.
Yeah, that would be a great storyline because, even though it's not official, we all know where he's going to end up next season. But yeah, the Champions League final was at the end of this
month. Wembley.
At Wembley, bro.
Guess what? I'm going to be in London during that time.
Okay.
June 1st.
I don't know. I don't know if I can get a ticket, though.
Damn, bro. I thought you worked at
bro, I'm trying.
The Central Broadcasting Service.
Yeah, dog. I'm trying. I asked, and they said, it's easier for the Super Bowl. And I put, ha, ha, ha. And they said, we're not kidding.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wembley's like, what, 60 thousand?
Bro, someone got to get me like a suite, bro. I need to like, ooh.
Not just a ticket.
You can have extra people in a suite is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
So there's a higher likelihood that there's a space available in a suite.
Just packed.
Than a ticket.
Packed in, yeah. Like sardines in
and
a suite.
If you get me one of them nosebleeds, I don't even want it. No, I'm kidding. I'll take any ticket. Just one.
Okay.
Well, one fuel hang out in London.
If you got an extra one, hook me up, bro. Yeah. And Mike, whatever, bro.
I'll be there. Oh, yeah, get three.
I know our audience. There are probably people that are holding just a whole boatload.
Yeah.
They're like Money Mayweather with Champions League tickets, final tickets.
If it's our audience, it's probably someone we know in the Bronx right now printing out.
just a stack of Wembley tickets to their ear. I can't hear you over these mad Wembley
just
tickets.
Just listening to Pop Smoke on repeat.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
So coming back to North America, after we were just talking about some European competition, we got another Champions League to discuss. Columbus Crew guys upset Monterrey in the semifinals of the CONCACAF Champions League. What does this mean for America? I think we're just better than Mexico now. It's official. This is the final draw.
It's also our preseason.
It's not,
you know what I mean, the beginning of the season. We start the competition in the
preseason.
We're
like 10 games in. It's not a preseason anymore. But
it kind of still is. It's MLS. First 10 matches, I really don't consider. But this is huge. This is huge, not just for MLS. It's huge for Wilfred Nancy, man.
Exactly, yeah. Because the only thing that can be said, of course, is that...
And I told them, guys, impossible is an opinion.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's go.
Bro.
That's what it is. Impossible.
Guess what? Song of the summer last year is the song of the summer this year, bro.
Okay. It was impossible. It's an opinion. The remix is now.
Damn.
Imposible es solo una opinión. Let's go.
Okay.
Because he did it in Mexico. Wilfred Nancy.
Damn.
Just dethroning some of these Liga MX giants, bro. This is crazy. We're not used to this. We just earlier this Champions League campaign.
Brendan Vasquez was like, I left Cincinnati for this.
Ohio is still hurting me,
damn,
bro. Columbus is still crushing my soul.
Hell is really real, bro. How did you show up at my new job?
Why you bring hell to me, bro?
Damn.
I'm in the mountains. Hell ain't supposed to be here.
Bro, the air crisp out here, dog.
The air is thinner, bro.
Damn.
This was a game where in the first leg, Columbus held their own. They drew, right? I believe that it was...
In the first leg?
The first leg. What was the score? Was it
the first leg was 2-1.
2-1, that's right. Okay, 2-1 in the first leg. And so it's this even with...
But everyone's like, oh, that was only at home. That's the only reason you did it. Basically everything I said about BBB. who also wears yellow and black, by the way. But, dude, they had to go to Monterrey and get it done.
Yeah.
And they did it in a very big way.
Well, I'll say this, because Monterrey, even the, you know, I think a lot of people are happy, especially Columbus fans, that they're through to the final. But we all know, CONCACAF, everybody in CONCACAF was like, in Miami, we're rolling out the pink carpet for you.
Right.
So all you got to do is just do your thing.
How do we get you involved?
Okay, we're trying to get you in the mix, mm-hmm. Right? And in that first leg against Monterrey, and I know they were playing against Miami, but Miami didn't have Messi in that game. I think somebody else, maybe Jordi Alba was missing in that game. I don't know. I think he played. He ended up getting red carded and getting injured in that game. He's still been out. But it wasn't their strongest roster. And Monterrey, especially in that first leg, looked like they looked a little weaker than I expected. If it wasn't for the mistake from Diego Gomez to let that ball go in front of him.
But don't you always assume in those moments that it's the Mexican teams are just not taking that match as seriously? Don't you always assume that there's another level they're going to hit at some point?
I don't think so.
I think that's the common threat. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like the aura of, well, we're only winning because they didn't try. Mm-hmm. Or we're only winning because they didn't show up and they didn't respect us as opponents.
I don't think. I mean, look, the home field advantage is a factor, right? And so you expect that the away team is not going to play that well. And then and it showed in the second leg because Inter Miami were abysmal in that second leg and got absolutely smacked. But this is something in the first leg, the Columbus Monterrey first leg, that was not the case. It looked they were trying, and they could not figure out Columbus. And and there's something to, you know, we have these sort of preconceived notions of MLS teams that they're going to be either intimidated or even that you know, Steve Cherundolo was making the complaint when LAFC got knocked out of Champions League of like, oh, we don't have. You know, the other teams have a lot of they have a lot of money and money is how you get quality players, and we can't compete with the salaries that they have and the whole thing. And Wilfred Nancy's like, yo, bro.
I do not need anything of that, like, of that nature.
I do not need
that. That is all right.
Money, bro. Nah, we out here just, you know, just whatever. It's a barter system out in Colombia. Yeah. They're making it work, and it's really the
because you know the Mexican teams are like, mira, oye, open el Google ese, mira, pon Darlington Nagy. ¿Cómo él lo está haciendo?
I love the Cuban accent Liga MX players.
Yeah, yeah. They must all be from Veracruz, which is where the Cuban accent is.
So, but there is a, there, you know, there were a couple, the goal, the Diego Rossi goal, if you look at the build-up.
What an insane pickup he has been for Columbus Crew.
I mean, look, and was that LAFC and
was that Bezbachenko, right? That's their director of operations.
Yes, the GM, I guess. And but the if you watch the buildup for like maybe 30-40 seconds before the goal actually happens, it's Nancy ball, right? Mm-hmm. I've seen you mention this on Morning Footy.
I said it this morning.
Yeah, it is a. It's not exactly tiki taka. It's not that.
No.
It is players and it is teammates knowing exactly where to position themselves and create space. And they do a thing where you know how who was it? Brighton that started doing this that the center backs put their foot on the ball.
Yeah, they were the first team was the Zerbi's third Italian division Chelsea team.
Yeah.
But now Sassuolo did it.
It was like they introduced something to the game where like, oh, it changes.
It tricks the forwards into thinking like, oh, now is a good time to press.
Exactly.
And now you create space.
And I see something sort of similar in the Columbus Crew style of play, but it's not necessarily the center backs that do it. It's usually like the midfielders, or they do it out wide. They draw defenders, 2-3 defenders, to the wide parts of the pitch. And this is like the goal that Diego Rossi scored is there's like they draw in about two defenders on the left side, and then Matan is wide open in the center of the field with literally yards of space behind him.
Two things you don't want is a player like Matan open wide with a lot of space in the center of the pitch.
Exactly. And then Matan gets the ball, and then as soon as that happens, the center back is drawn towards him.
Because now somebody has to cover him.
Somebody has to cover him, and Diego Rossi slips right behind him, and which a great pass and a great goal. And that's what I see when I'm watching Columbus. They just wait for you, and they're not afraid of the pressure. And it's
right.
Speaking of intimidating environments, playing in Monterrey, how many times have we seen MLS teams just buckle under the pressure?
Mm-hmm.
They can't deal with the jeers. They can't deal with the quality of the players that are in front of them. They make little mistakes here and there. But this is one of the most impressive things. In this game is and Columbus did this in the previous series against who did they play? Tigres? Tigres,
I'll
right?
Check. I'll check.
Yeah, I believe it was Tigres.
Yeah, I think so. They beat Tigres.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tigres. Yeah.
But in both instances when on those away legs, in the goals that they score, there's very few times where we've seen MLS teams silence these stadiums with how many people are in Monterrey Stadium? 60,000, 60,000? It's a huge stadium.
Right.
And the silence on every Columbus Crew goal.
Yeah, 53,000.
53,000. The
Chukas is tiny compared to that. I think it's like 30.
Oh, wow. But the silence when each of those goals went in.
It's disrespectful silence.
It's a respect to Columbus.
Yeah, and a disrespect.
And a disrespect.
We're not even going to boo you. I want you to see what you just done.
There is you watch all the goals. Watch the fans. The fans are not like, ah, man. It's just like, really? There's just like a really? And there's a certain respect to Columbus where you're like, it wasn't like some scrappy, weird goal, set piece, this or whatever.
No, this is.
This is beautiful football
yeah.
that they're getting defeated by, and the fans are just like, it's one of those things where, you know, when
have you seen Monterrey's lineup, what their formation is? Go up to the top. Yeah, right there. It's a 4-3-1-2, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes they line up in a 4-4-1-1.
Okay.
There's like two very different teams, Monterrey, and the fans are like, which one is going to show up today? Are we going to do this sit back counterattack and hope that our athleticism is good enough?
Right.
Or are we going to play beautiful ball? Obviously hoping Canales can ball. Bro, who showed up to ball was Columbus.
Yeah, Aiden Morris, that goal. I mean, they gave up the early goal.
I think that's what made Monterrey have to sort of stretch out a little bit, force it a little bit, try to go get the goal. You know, all of a sudden, early goal changes everything. And that's when you give Columbus any space.
Yeah. I mean, it's remarkable because we're just like, again, you look at the players that they have. And it isn't. I mean, you expect Diego Rossi to do his thing. You expect Darnell Nagbe to do his thing. You know what they're gonna players like Cucho. You know what they're gonna do. But it's everybody. That's really the thing. It's just.
But they're also pretty loaded. I mean, you didn't even mention Diego Rossi in that setup. You know, Aiden Morris obviously is an incredible player. They're pretty stacked.
Yeah. Look, but also Moreira, Camacho, who was at Montreal, I think.
Yeah,
beforehand.
Camacho has.
And it's just every. And then Patrick Schulte also. You know, they won in penalties in against Tigres.
But Michael Lahoud said might be playing his way into the conversation for men's national team.
That's fascinating because it is dire right now, bro. Because it's like, it's, you know, right now the only like men's national team player getting minutes is Drake Callender.
Yeah, bro.
And he's not really lighting it up.
He's not lighting it up.
Okay.
In fact, Berhalter heard Michael Lahoud say that, and Berhalter goes, "Why did he say he wants to?"
Yeah, I mean, Berhalter is writing a little note to say, "You want to play goalkeeper for men's national circle? Yes or no?" My man has to flirt with him to try to get him to play. Yeah, we're in a bad situation. But shout out to Columbus Crew. This was again, resounding win. I mean, it's just really, really impressive. And I gotta make sure I play this because this was Columbus Morning News. When Morning News gets in on the footy banter.
Hold on, this could be another breakthrough moment for American soccer.
Yes.
Because whenever we've played Morning News clips here, is because there'll be a photo of a Manchester United logo. And someone will say Manchester City has won a triple.
Some embarrassing American flub or something stupid. Yes.
So is this what we're about to see?
Yeah, this is Good Day Columbus. Okay.
My favorite show.
My favorite.
No, I watch this. Never miss an episode.
Never miss an episode.
I tune in regularly.
I don't even pay attention to driving. I look down at my phone while I'm on my way to the studio.
Actually, I shouldn't even be watching this because I got it on my DVR at home. Yeah, I don't want to spoil it.
Oh, dude. I told my wife, make popcorn. This is going to be rude.
So this is a clip from.
For those of you just listening, there's four people on screen and they all look exactly what you think. Good Morning Columbus would look like.
So let's play the clip real quick.
Celebrate the big win as we reflect on another big achievement for the crew. We want to check in on our old owner, Anthony Precourt, who wanted to move our beloved black and gold to Austin. He now owns a team there.
And actually, we just got some video into the newsroom showing their trophy case. And wow, would you look at that?
We are throwing some
devastating.
Dirty this morning.
Whoa.
Our woke up and chose violence. I mean, that is an empty trophy case.
Too bad. So sad.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
This is
one of the most devastating burns.
They are cooking Precourt. My man is like, I've been in Austin for like 4 years, bro.
Precourt probably still watches Good Morning Columbus. And he was like, God damn it, man.
they got me again. I watch this show for entertainment and to stay updated on Columbus news and weather.
Why must I be the focus of your ire?
My man, Columbus, good day, Columbus. Shouts to you.
It's starting to sound like a diss. Like, hey, good morning, Columbus.
I mean, this is Kendrick Lamar saw this and was like, bro, I wish I would have come up with a bar that hard.
Bro, this actually ain't that different. I don't like the way you dress. I don't like the way you talk. I don't like the way you sing.
Oh, you with your team Drake, bro?
Huh? I'm team both of them have lost.
I think, yeah, I'm team. This is embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm team J. Cole. Y'all should apologize and go back to doing what you're doing. Go make money.
Yo, that would be a great ending to this series. It's just a group therapy session with all three of them. You
bro,
know what I mean?
Who hurt you?
get a group therapy session with them three and the holograms of Biggie and Tupac. Bro.
I also think in the whole, just to bring it up, I don't think Kendrick Lamar realizes that most of his fans, I'm not saying all, but the majority of people who I've ever heard have bought a Kendrick Lamar album, are more Taylor Swift fans. You know what I mean?
Okay, so it's more mainstream pop culture type thing.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Let's just say that the cast of Good Morning Columbus.
You think they're into this? Is
that's more of a Kendrick Lamar's the best rapper I've ever heard.
Interesting. But you're not a fan of like conscious rap. Just so everybody knows. If you wear too many syllables in your raps.
Not just that. If you're trying to give me a message, no, thank you. You better be telling me what you can't tell your attorney. You know what
Alexis
I mean?
Alexis is full.
But conscious rap is for skate shops. Restaurants that serve small plates.
Yeah, it's what you hear at a Zoomies.
Yeah, facts.
Hot topic.
And people, the cast of Good Morning Columbus.
Interesting. I mean, look, that's a fair.
So all this shit he's making fun of Drake for, it's like, bro, your fans are also into that music.
Okay.
And another thing, you're now scaring all of them with this new tone you have.
I don't love.
This ain't Mad City. You know what I mean?
I don't love Kendrick Lamar. I mean, but I do think he is a very good rapper. He has.
What am I, an idiot? He's an incredible wordsmith.
And he has a couple really good.
He didn't show it on this diss track, but he's a great wordsmith.
He has a couple good songs that I enjoy, but. Collectively, I'm not going to say that Drake is a better rapper, but Drake is undeniably a better entertainer, he's just more fun to listen to and more engaging.
Right.
And that, so he will always sort of win, regardless of who his fan base is or whatever. Right. He has an endless amount of the catalog. What's what I love? Kendrick Lamar says, I don't even know one of your classics. So I don't even know one of your nobody can remember. Like, if you ask me what's my favorite Drake song, I couldn't tell you.
But that's because there's a lot of them.
There's too many.
Yeah.
There's too many. So it feels like Drake's catalog is just one long song. You know what I mean? Like, it's just an endless loop of Drake or whatever.
I mean, the guy's had as many number one hits as Michael Jackson.
Yeah, yeah. So, but it dilutes my appreciation for it because it's just so much.
So much art.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm glad we got there.
Well, thank you, Columbus.
Thank
for
you,
getting
Columbus.
Us into a conversation about rap beef.
So to wrap up today's show, we're going to be talking about a league that we really haven't talked about too much this season, the championship. It's the final weekend of matches for the season on Saturday. And we got a parlay for you guys. We got a championship parlay to celebrate the last game of the season. Guys, what do we got for the people?
Yes.
It's going to be a big one.
It's going to be, obviously, if we take a quick look at the table, it's getting a little scary for some of these teams. They obviously want that automatic promotion. Congratulations to Leicester City.
You got to avoid the playoffs because you know how much the English hate playoffs.
They hate playoffs.
They hate it.
Okay. They just want to get to the World Series.
That's it. They're big fans of that part. But obviously the first thing, come on, if you're Ipswich right now, you need 1 point. 1 point.
Uh-huh.
And you're automatically guaranteed.
Yes.
Automatic promotion for the first time in a very long time, by the way.
Yeah, Ipswich is a team. I was like, I haven't seen it since FIFA was 8-bit, right? I mean, I don't remember them even in the game.
Yeah, man. Hey, welcome back. Welcome back, Ipswich.
Ipswich, bro. But they used to be like a powerhouse back in the day, right?
I mean, that had to be way back in the day.
It was black and white TV.
Yeah, they were like, he had a player that was unstoppable. He was tall.
We've never seen a tall before.
Every team went out to sign a tall boy.
Old Skyscraper McGinnis out there with the header.
Okay.
He took his athletic body serious. He only had 15 pints after each match.
We call him Big Ben, even though his name is Steve.
Damn. Tim T. Toddler. Big Ben.
Anyway, this is the DraftKings segment that we have to get to. It's very difficult to be serious at all. But you see the table. Leicester won the title already in the championship. Ipswich, Leeds, Southampton, Norwich, and West Brom are all...
Whole city within touching distance of West Brom.
That Leeds and Ipswich is like anything could happen because, you know, the last game of the season, we can see a different...
If Ipswich lose and Leeds win...
They're in.
They're up.
They're up. Okay, so we have a little parlay for you. So we're going with Leeds. Leeds is playing against Southampton.
Damn.
It is minus 175, but Leeds, the urgency of this game.
They need it.
And, you know, if they win.
The opportunity to automatically get promoted.
Yes.
This becomes now one of the most expensive games in the world.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. So this is already the playoff for Leeds.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to go to the playoffs.
And guess what? If you lose this game, you got to face Southampton again in the playoffs, possibly.
Which is absurd. So a huge, huge game.
And then obviously remember, this is within the 90 minutes. So we're saying that Leeds are going to beat Southampton in the 90 minutes.
Yeah.
We're also saying Hull City.
Hull City has a game which they don't really have anything to play for, but they play against...
No, they have something to play for. They can still get into the
playoff. That's right. You're correct.
Yeah.
So they have an opportunity. Plymouth are not a strong team in the championship this season.
But they are home. So we're taking the away team. So we're getting a nice return on this one, plus 105.
Exactly. So Hull City over Plymouth. And then finally, Coventry City, who do not have anything to play for, but they have the American Haji, right? They had a great FA Cup run. They play against Queen's Park Rangers.
So this is their last home game of the season. Go out on a high.
QPR sucks.
Yeah,
so you would think they should be able to take care of business.
That's plus 130. You add all that up, all that goodness up.
Exactly. Look at this number.
You mix it in a
Look
bowl.
Look at this number.
You mix it in a bowl, you get a plus 640. That's a big pop right there.
That's a big ball of gumbo.
Damn, that's a tall player right there.
That's the tallest parlay I've ever seen.
They must be cheating, he's so tall.
This can't be in the rules. Plus 640, if you bet 10 bucks, you can win 75. So
you drop a tenner in there, mate.
Exactly. So
you get 74.09.
Watch the championship this weekend. It is Survival Saturday.
Yeah, and if you take the parlay, take a screen cap, tag us in.
Let us know. We're trying to...
We hit on the last one.
Yeah.
Come on.
Follow us. Okay. As always, bet responsibly.
Never lost. Let's go. Okay.
Even though we've lost some time.
Tallest parlays in the game.
Okay, nobody's ever seen
illegal height.
Okay, the Wembanyamas of parlays, bro.
Open up your jacket and show us your children on each other's shoulders.
Anyway, thank you for tuning in. Another Fire Cooligans podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe here on YouTube, whatever podcast platform you listen on. And what else? Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all socials, Instagram, TikTok, whatever, you know, social media platforms are going to be banned soon. All right. All of them. Okay. they're going to ban them all. That's it. Nobody should be allowed any social media, dog. That's how stressful this stuff is.
You know what won't be banned? Your mother from thinking about us.
Yeah, never. That's an authoritarian overreach that we would never allow it.
Yeah.
Okay?
How dare you, dude? Respect your mother, bro. Leave us alone.
Y'all the absolute best. We will be back on Monday. We got a special guest on Monday as well. That's going to be really, really fun. So make sure you tune in. Everybody, see you on Monday. Peace.
It's the Cooligans,
love you guys.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.